Welcome back to another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show live on the ISC Sports Network. I am the J-Man. I am back this week. Thanks to Big E, Eric Lee, for holding the fort down in my absence, along with Tanner Lee in Indiana. How you doing, 19 dog?
Doing good, J-Man. Doing good. Can't really complain at all. We got an action-packed show tonight. We got a lot to cover. A lot of interesting things to talk about. Got the World Series. Got a lot of interesting storylines that keep progressing around college football world. And a lot of upsets and some interesting talking points in the NFL as well.
Yeah, and then next week will be our Big Ten basketball preview show.
Yeah, hard to believe.
Busy few weeks here.
It's that time of year where this podcast just gets busy because, yeah, football and basketball just colliding for a little while, for a few months. Yeah. So, but, hey, it's better than having nothing to talk about like we do at times in the spring and summer. So.
Yeah, I am very thankful for this time of year for sure.
Yes, sir. And it's last week of October. It'll be November on Friday. Halloween coming up Thursday. So, busy week for a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
But I did bring some birdie or bogey with me. Surprise, surprise, last week I got another bogey. So you can chalk that up on the season tally. Right. But got a big one here for you tonight. 8 head coaches in NFL history have beat every single team in the league. I want 4 for a par. I'm feeling nice. 4 for a par, 5 or better for a birdie.
So this includes expansion teams.
Yes.
Okay. Like the Houston Texans haven't been around since 2001-ish, I would say.
Correct.
Okay. Correct. So since 2001, essentially, there have been 8 coaches that have beaten every single NFL team. All right. I got this. Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located in Rochester, Indiana. Over the weekend, they had lobster tail. It looks like Thermidor. I don't know how to pronounce that. Dive into a delightful shell of cooked, diced lobster meat bathed in a dreamy bechamel sauce jazzed up with cognac, lobster stock, mushrooms, a zesty kick of Dijon mustard, and shallots, topped with bubbly Munster cheese and broiled to golden perfection. This dish struts its stuff alongside fluffy wild rice and vibrant broccolini. They have a way with words there at the Arlington Public House.
Yes, they do.
And then on Thursday, they had prime rib tacos, which is more my speed.
Can't go wrong with anything there on the menu. Mm-hmm. So, and I know it's we're sponsored by Arlington Public House, but also their, I guess you'd call it, sister restaurant. They're connected. Dreddy's Place is also a great place to grab some lunch. Mm-hmm. If you're in the Rochester, Indiana area for lunch, they are open Monday through Saturday for lunch.
So. I've been a loyal ham and Gouda panini guy there for about since they opened. I don't remember what year that was, 2007-ish, I want to say.
I think you're right. Yeah.
2006, 2007, something like that.
Yep.
Loyal. 103 is what the number is.
Yep, they got good sandwiches, good soups, too, for lunch. So can't go wrong. Go wrong with lunch from Dreddy's or dinner from the Arlington Public House.
Yes, sir.
What do you want to start off with tonight, J-Man?
Let's talk some World Series.
Let's do it.
We have the two best teams in the league left, which I'm sure Major League Baseball is very happy with. Not only that they're the two best teams, but also the two biggest markets.
And the two best players, or at least the two most marketable players in the league.
I would say 3 of the best players in baseball in this series. And Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, who has been horrendous the entire postseason.
Yes, he has.
And Shohei Ohtani. But yeah, especially after last year's snooze fest, as I want to call it. You had the Rangers and Diamondbacks, two smaller markets. Not huge fans outside of those areas of those teams. And so far, the ratings numbers have reflected that as game one of the World Series this year, which is going to go down as one of the classic games in baseball history as far as World Series game ones go. Viewership is up 70% from last year's game one, and it was the highest rated game one of a World Series since 2017. So I'm sure
it delivered.
He's licking his chops, and boy, did it deliver! Back and forth affair. You had, you know, the Yankees took the lead early, Dodgers tie it, then Yankees take the lead about the seventh inning, then Dodgers tie it in the eighth, and it goes to extra innings. And an interesting play out there in the top of the 10th with Gleyber Torres with two outs. He hits a ball to the wall, and a Dodger fan reaches over in fan interference. Very clear fan interference. I'm glad it wasn't one of those gray area sort of things where, man, I don't know if it's out. I don't know if it's going to stay in. It was very clearly going to stay in. But then
Dodgers. It had a small margin, I think, to hit the top of the wall. But yeah. Even then, I don't think it was going into the stands.
So. Now, yeah, the way the trajectory looked and where he caught the ball, the fan, it sure looked like it was going to stay in.
And you know, as a Yankee fan, it was frustrating. But I wasn't mad at the fan. It was instant just reaction, you know, right there. I wasn't mad at the fan.
Yeah, and again, he was going to end up with a double anyway, so it didn't really change anything. But then some interesting decisions in the 10th inning with the Dodgers getting two guys on with one out. Shohei Ohtani comes up, and you're like, man, time to see what this guy's got. You know, I mean, his first major, major moment probably of his career, the biggest moment of his career to date was in this at-bat, and he swings at the first pitch. Aaron Boone brought Nestor Cortez in, who hadn't pitched in 37 days.
Yeah.
And he's a starter by trade, and they have him in the bullpen for this round. And hadn't pitched in 37 days, and he get Shohei to pop out, which was great. I mean, it was good pitch in on the hands. Shohei was late.
It was a heck of a play.
Heck of a play by Alex Verdugo out there.
He had to be hurting.
Yeah,
he waved it off, but I'm like, man.
Yeah. Toppled over a little bit, and that ended up being a huge play in that 10th inning that he toppled over, because that means guys on first and second get to advance to second and third, which opens up a base. And I know you look at the lefty-righty sort of matchup. I mean, it's pick your poison, honestly. You have Mookie Betts up. He's 0 for 5 in his career against Nestor Cortez. Way too small of a sample to get anything from that number there. And then Freddie Freeman up. And I understand the thought process, in a sense, of why Aaron Boone wanted to put Mookie on to face Freddie Freeman, because it's lefty on lefty. You know, traditionally that is, you know, a problem spot for most left-handed hitters. Not Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman, for one, with the bases loaded, is fantastic. Two, he's been fantastic in his career against left-handed pitching. And I even, when I was watching the game, I watched it by myself, and I was thinking this whole time, like, man, I think I'd rather face Mookie right here, because Freddie's about the last guy you want to face in this spot, because you know he's going to put in play. You know he's going to hit a line drive somewhere. And sure enough, first pitch, he hits it 420 feet into the bleachers for an iconic moment for the Dodgers. I mean, that was the first walk-off home run with a team being down in the World Series since Kirk Gibson did it. And
1988.
And the crazy thing is, the ball landed at the exact same time as Kirk Gibson's did. I think it was like 8:37 Pacific time or something like that. And Joe Davis had a really nice call. Kind of honoring Vin Scully, you know, she is gone, and he did it for Freddie's too. So it was pretty cool moment for the Dodgers and their fans there.
But, first ever walk-off grand slam in World Series history.
World Series history. So you get to see something you don't see very often. Then game two, I didn't watch a single pitch of game two. It was kind of in the background of football, in a sense. On Saturdays that happens.
I watched all game one and game two.
It seems like the Dodgers kind of took control. I know Soto hit a homer in the first, but then Dodgers got the lead back, and it was just every time I checked the score, it'd be like, okay, bottom six, same score, bottom seven, same score, bottom eight, same score.
And it seemed like every time the Yankees had a chance to do something, it was the bottom end of the lineup, and they just couldn't. I mean, they had a chance, I think it was ninth inning, eighth or ninth, I think it was ninth inning, and Anthony Rizzo was up in a big spot, struck out. Right after that happened, it's like, all right, this thing's going 2-0 Dodgers way going into New York game three tonight. So
yeah, and the reality of the situation is they need more out of their best player. Aaron Judge is hitting under 200 this postseason. In his career, he has the highest strikeout rate of any player with at least 200 plate appearances in the postseason. I think he's up to 200 plate appearances now. They need more from him. And now the media is definitely starting to get on him a little bit too.
I think he'll have a good game tonight. I just have that feeling.
I mean, he needs to, because, I mean, those Yankee fans are ruthless. They might start booing if he strikes out, which would be
to
do that to your best player. Obviously, the Yankees need to win at least two of these three to get it back to L.A. Ideally, they really need to sweep it, because you don't want to go back to L.A. at all. Or, well, you have to go back to L.A. regardless.
Right.
You'd obviously much prefer to be up three games to two as opposed to
– Well, you would have all the momentum. You'd win three straight in that sense. So, you know, Derek Jeter's throwing out the first pitch tonight, Paul O'Neill tomorrow. So, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, first World Series game at Yankee Stadium in – 15
since 09.
15 years.
Yep.
So I'm sure that environment will be raucous. And, you know, I was these were the first two World Series games played at Dodger Stadium since 88. Because remember, World Series when they won it was in Texas that year because of COVID.
You're right.
And I thought the crowd was kind of dull game one throughout the thing. Obviously, late it got rowdy when, you know, they had stuff going. But, like, fourth or fifth inning, there were big moments. You know, it's just kind of quiet, and I was very surprised by that because, you know, Yankee Stadium, they'll probably be on their feet almost the entire game tonight.
Yeah,
Wrigley Field, they're hanging on every single pitch, and I just didn't get that feeling from Dodgers fans out there.
I don't get that feeling from really any LA team. Maybe the Lakers if they're deep in the postseason.
Yeah, maybe this new stadium where the Clippers are playing, new
it's
arena,
pretty cool. It's pretty cool awesome. Looking.
And almost looks like their owner, Ballmer, wanted to have kind of like a student section of sorts.
He's nuts, too. Like, in a good way at games. Like, he
very
really
good
gets into
game.
It.
Yeah, very good way.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't really care about football out there that much. Baseball's kind of their thing. Soccer's big, obviously, out there. But, yeah, and the Lakers. I would say the Lakers are.
Yep. USC was in the early 2000s, but
yeah, and then they had about you could count on about two hands how many people showed up at that Rutgers game on Friday night.
Granted,
World Series was going on, but
but hey, the Big Ten wanted that. Big Ten wanted these four schools, so I don't feel bad. I
don't think they really care about attendance. They just wanted that big old TV deal, and they got it.
They got it.
Do you think the Yankees get back to L.A.?
Yeah. I think they win. I think they're down 3-2 when it goes back to L.A. Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking, too. If they lose tonight, though, it might just be over.
You're right.
And they might lose, you know, Tuesday, tomorrow.
Is Shohei out for the rest of the series?
He's playing tonight. So
Mind. I thought with the way they were talking about his shoulder the other night, he might be done.
Sounded like he dislocated it. And he can hit. It helps that he doesn't play the field. So they say he can hit. I'm sure it'll be sore though.
Yeah. The last thing they need is for him to do something stupid. Really bad that costs him some time next year. But
It is a thing, though. You're like, man, we got to win a World Series.
So you
kind of have to risk it at this point because you can't just play for next year because you don't know if you're going to get back. They should get back. There was a report today that said they're going to go all in on Juan Soto and just add him to the mix. It's been thoroughly entertaining, and I am looking forward to seeing what Yankee Stadium looks like tonight.
And I want to correct myself earlier. Now I'm thinking about the game again, game two in my head. Anthony Rizzo got hit by a pitch.
He got hit by
a
pitch.
It was Volpe who struck out.
He's been bad, too.
Got those two. He's been terrible. He's swinging at some horrific pitches in that at bat. So.
And then Jose Trevino came up, and off the bat it looked pretty good, but it died a little short of the track.
Rizzo had struck out the bat before. I got it confused in my head. So, I want to correct myself there.
Rizzo's got some experience being down, you know, 3-1 anyway in a World Series and coming back and winning. Yep. So that was a long time ago now, Jed.
He gets hit by pitches more than anybody in the league because he crowds that plate so much.
Yes, he does.
He leaned into it a little bit. So
he doesn't budge.
Nope,
he does not budge.
Oh, God, it looked like it hurt right in the back. But he gave a little wink and a smile to the dugout like he knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
So. But it'll be fun. It'll be fun. It'll be fun the rest of the series, at least from an atmosphere.
Yeah. So. Who pitches tonight?
Let me look. I don't know off the top of my head.
I don't know who's pitching for the Dodgers. Might be a bullpen game. They've been doing that a lot lately.
Oh, stupid autocorrect. I put starters in and did stats. Starting pitchers. Walker Buehler for the Dodgers and Clark Schmidt for the Yankees. That's right.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I saw it earlier today.
Yeah, Buehler. Buehler's an interesting one because he's a free agent, but he missed the majority of the season with after having Tommy John surgery. And he's been pretty good in the postseason so far, but he had a very poor few months in the regular season. So I'm sure he'll have a quick hook tonight.
It'll be interesting to watch. Got a score prediction?
It's so hard to do this in baseball.
I know it is.
I'm going to go 5-3 Yankees.
I was thinking 5-2, so we're yeah. Right, we're right there. So, okay, all right. Well, you want to get educated real quick?
Do it.
We have some sporting events that have happened on this day on October 28th. On this day in 1890, the World Championship Baseball Series took place, Washington Park, New York. The Louisville Colonels beat the Brooklyn Bridegrooms 6-2 in game 7 to tie the series 3-3-1. Deciding game was never played. Everybody had fun. Everybody had fun.
I wonder what the mascot was for a bridegroom.
I don't know.
Couldn't tell you.
On this day, 1924, the White Sox beat the New York Giants 8-4 in Dublin. Less than 20 fans attended the game. That's about the White Sox attendance now, isn't it?
Yeah, just about. So especially in September. I mean, I saw there was one game. I think it was a night game, too. Somebody counted 72 people in the stands or something like that.
That's awful.
Yeah.
On this day,
payroll, too.
Yeah. Fun stuff. On this day, 1959, the American Football League, the AFL, awarded the Buffalo Bills franchise to Ralph C. Wilson.
Wish they would have just said, no, we don't need a team in Buffalo.
Would have made your life a lot better, wouldn't it?
Well, it was okay when I was growing up. Now it sucks.
Yeah. It ebbs and flows. On this day, 1961, ground was broken on the Municipal Shea Stadium in Queens, New York. Would be the home of the Mets until 2008.
I never went, but talk about a dump. Everyone talks how terrible it was.
Yeah.
Their new stadium is nice.
On the day, 1962, New York Giant Y.A. Tittle passed for 7 touchdowns against the then Washington Redskins in a 49-34 win.
Probably threw 5 picks, too.
Probably. On the day, 1973, Elmore Smith of the Lakers blocked 17 shots in a game. Single season game NBA record.
I can't imagine that's been hit since.
I'd be shocked. Yeah. That's a lot of blocks. On the day, 1978, Bobby Orr scored his last career NHL goal. It was against the Detroit Red Wings. On this day, 1981, the LA Dodgers beat the New York Yankees 9-2 at Yankee Stadium to clinch the series 4-2. It was the first time there was co-MVPs, Ron Say and Pedro Guerrero and Steve Yeager. Three guys. Wonder if there's ever been three again.
I don't think so. I doubt there's been co since then.
On this day in 1989, who won the World Series? My dad did really good with those last week.
89?
Yep.
That was the Oakland A's.
A's beat the Giants. And
I can go back to 83.
Okay.
On them, but yeah.
We'll test you one of those days. One of these days. A's pitcher Dave Stewart was MVP. 95, who won the World Series on this day?
95 would have been the... That was the Atlanta Braves, wasn't it?
Atlanta Braves over the then Cleveland Indians. 1-0 in game 6 to win the series. Who was the MVP?
For the Braves. Was it one of the pitchers?
Yep.
Smoltz.
Glavine. You had a 1-3 shot.
I did. So.
On this day in 2007, who won the World Series?
2007, Boston Red Sox over the Colorado Rockies.
Sweep. They won 4-3 in game 4. Who was the MVP?
Was it Jacoby Ellsbury?
Good guess, Mike Lowell.
Oh, yeah, he had a good series.
Who won the World Series on this day in 2011?
2011 was one of my, it was my least favorite World Series. It was the, it was the David Freese game six miracle in the St. Louis Cardinals. I assume he won MVP too.
It was game seven today.
Okay. Game six was the legendary game. Game seven, they won pretty handily.
Yep. On this day in 2012, who won the World Series?
That was the Giants, even year.
Giants beat the Tigers 4-3 in 10 innings. Game four, sweep. Yeah, it was the Giants' second title in 3 years. Who was the MVP?
2012. 14 was Baumgartner. I know that one. 12 was... Is this a well-known guy?
Yeah, I mean, if you follow baseball decently, you probably heard of
him. Was it Pablo?
Yeah, Sandoval? Pablo Sandoval. Yep.
He hit three homers in game one, or two homers in game one off of Verlander.
On this day in 2015, the longest ever first game of a World Series was played. It was 5 hours and 9 minutes. The Royals beat the Mets 5-4. Also joint longest by innings, 14-inning game.
Yeah.
And on this day in 2018, who won the World Series?
2018 was the Boston Red Sox over the LA Dodgers. Stephen Pierce.
Yes, you got it. It was 5-1 in game five.
Is probably the worst World Series MVP ever. He was unbelievable that series, but he was mainly just like a platoon outfielder that somehow – that usually played on like bad teams, and somehow he got a shot with the Red Sox, and he ran with it.
So you can name the World Series champions, go back to 83. Do you think a majority of those years you can name the MVPs?
No. I would say less than 15%.
I don't know about that. I bet you get about half.
I doubt it.
I mean, you can figure out the good players on majority of those championship teams. So
that is a good point.
But like you just mentioned, not always is it a really good player who wins it.
Yeah.
Most time, I would say it is. And that is the On This Day sporting events on October 28th, brought to you by this week, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. We are officially under 2 months until Christmas.
Scary. So scary stuff.
Get your signed orders in. Like I said earlier on the pod, Friday is November 1st. Thanksgiving is going to be here before we know it. Then we're going to be opening up presents. Then we're going to be celebrating 2025. We're going to do the cycle all over again. So get your sign order in.
Fast year.
Yeah. What?
It's been a fast year.
Oh, it has. Get your sign orders in. Tell Thad Tan Jamin Show sent you 15% off your first sign order. You will not be disappointed.
Pick six time.
Alrighty.
I got two baseball, two college football, and two NBA because the NBA season has started.
Woo!
Starting with baseball, we got Freddie Freeman. Talked about him a little bit already.
Yeah. I mean, he's going down in history as a World Series legend. If he wasn't already, I mean, just for his performance game one and to, you know, top it all off, he's a little hobbled right now. So, even as a Yankee fan, I mean, it was frustrating. I think I yelled out a few choice words when the ball was in the air, but I mean, the stand, the pose, kind of Statue of Liberty pose there with a bat.
Yeah.
Just iconic. It was cool.
He's an easy guy to root for too.
He's a very humble guy.
Yeah. His son had severe medical issues earlier in the season. He had to miss some time and now his son's doing better, but just an easy guy to root for. And that's the other Kirk Gibson comparison is he is a little hobbled. He has a foot issue thing, but
arm movement though. No, on the base. No, like
couldn't do that. but yeah, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he's
where'd Freddie go to college.
Yeah, high school.
Not high school. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I knew Kurt went to Michigan State. So.
Yeah, Freddie's straight out of high school. He's from California. All right. He's Canadian, but he went to high school in California.
Gotcha.
Then Aaron Judge.
Yeah. I mean, one of the best Yankees of our lifetime. Maybe the best. It depends how you categorize that, I guess. But yeah, he's been awful this postseason. He's like you said, he's got to get it going.
Mm-hmm.
He's the heart and soul of the team. He's got to get going. I mean, the guy who used to take a lot of flack, Giancarlo, he's been awesome. He's been a Yankee legend just this postseason. Juan Soto's been awesome. Hopefully they can re-sign him, but it's going to be a lot of teams wanting to hit one of his services. But yeah, it's time for Judge to step up tonight. Should start tonight.
And that's been an issue with the Yankees all year. Obviously a really good team, but it's kind of been a two-man show there. Yep. Offensively. And if they got this Giancarlo with Judge doing what he usually does, I mean, they're rolling. But
yeah.
So college football time now. Kurt Cignetti, your boy.
Dude wins. I mean, I can't. He's 8-0. Got the Hoosiers off to their second 8-0 start in school history. Last time was 1967, which they went to the Rose Bowl. Yeah, they haven't led, or excuse me, haven't trailed at all this year. Have beat every opponent by 14 points or more. They only got four games left on their schedule. He knew what he was doing, walking in that place, bringing his whole staff, majority of his veteran players with him, walking into a place that got Louisville off the schedule. So they had three pretty relatively easy non-con games to get them going. Knew they had 8 home games on the schedule and 4 road games, which is almost unheard of unless you're Notre Dame. So yeah, it's kind of lightning in a bottle for Indiana this season. Everything's going good, and it's going to be real interesting to see how the next 4 games play out. He's fun not to like from a Purdue fans perspective, but I mean, the dude's backing up everything he says. So
yeah, first coach ever to start 8-0 back-to-back seasons with two different teams.
Yep.
Obviously, the higher 8 games then knocked it out of the park. This is what like some teams and fan bases want to go, man, that's got to excite the fan base, got to do this, got to do that.
Yep.
The dude's just a football coach, and he doesn't care about any of that sort of stuff. He's just going to go out there and try to win. And
do you think he's there for the long run?
The fact that he's older, I think, maybe helps that. Yeah. I don't know where he's originally from, though.
I don't either. And I mean, of course, he says he's there. But like I told somebody who was texting me about him the other day, I mean, what else is he going to say?
Yeah.
You come out, and, oh, no, I'm looking for other
guys. I'm looking somewhere else. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I could see him maybe depending if a big job comes after him, like say a Florida. I have no idea. I'm just throwing somebody that could be open, or Florida State. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they'll be open. Say they come after him and he wants to stay at IU, he could leverage it at least to get a bigger, bigger money out of IU. So,
yeah.
I mean, what he's doing is amazing in Indiana, but Indiana will always be a basketball school. Mm-hmm. That's the tough part there. I mean, even, you know, they did sell out Memorial Stadium the other day. They don't do that very often. But even game day, I mean, it was a good atmosphere with the fans in attendance, but I was surprised it wasn't more well attended than it was, to be honest. But it was noon start. Noon start makes it kind of tough sometimes, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird to see game day be at a place that is hosted by Big Ten Network, the game is.
I don't think it's ever happened before.
Yeah, that's weird.
I think they only did it because they wanted to get Indiana off their checklist. They've never been there besides that opening game.
They wanted Corso.
Thursday nighter. They wanted Corso, who's 89. He's not there every week because of his health up and down. And if they would have waited, say they lose this week to Michigan State, then the Michigan game's not as big of a game than they would have been.
I imagine a majority of the reason they did it is for Corso, which makes sense. But another guy here, Kyle McCord, with one of the worst games you'll ever see.
Yeah, I apologize to a good friend and loyal viewer of the show, Sean Shriver. He asked my dad and I for picks every week, top 25. And I said, take care of Syracuse. Dad said, take Pitt. And I'm glad he listened to my dad, because McCord was horrendous, 3 pick sixes. And I've been saying, like, first quarter. I like the Syracuse team every time I've watched them on TV. They're gritty. Yeah. They're tough. Boy, were they awful the other night. And it is crazy to see Pittsburgh undefeated, Indiana undefeated, and yet neither one's in the top 10.
Yeah. Name recognition. If they were in the SEC, they'd be 1-2.
Yep, and scheduling. I mean, both those teams have to either go undefeated or lose one game at the most to even have a shot. If they go 10-2, they're out. That's just point blank. They're going to get jumped.
Indiana has Ohio State coming up in Ohio State. Ohio State's looked a little off. I would be very surprised if Indiana went in there and made it a game.
Yeah. They haven't won there. They haven't beat Ohio State since the 80s.
Yeah.
So,
Transitioning to the NBA, we got J.J. Redick.
Yeah. Cool message he gave the Lakers the other night, but he proved game one who the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers is by playing Bronny James 2 minutes, and it's LeBron James is the head coach of the LA Lakers.
Yeah. Speaking of Bronny James, he's number 6 on this pick 6 list. Bronny James, I feel bad for him. It's a it's a thing. It's a show being put on by his dad. He wanted this moment, and Bronny's not ready. I think he showed it in preseason, showed it last year at USC.
He should be in the G League. The fact that he's actually getting some minutes, you know, he should. The fact that he's getting some minutes over some other guys who aren't playing, like Jalen Hutchinson, for instance,
crazy.
It's just laughable to me and disrespectful in some ways. But like you said, it's his dad's one of the greatest NBA players of all time. And if LeBron told JJ jump, he'd say how high. So
you didn't see Jordan pulling this crap though.
No, you didn't.
His sons were a little younger, were significantly younger.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say Bronny's better than Marcus was. He's probably better than Jeff.
Better than Jeffrey. But
Jeffrey was a bum.
You missed those days.
No. Scoring 56 points a game and hoping the other team scores less than that were not fun days. In the line.
Yep. Nope. Was that six already?
Yeah, it was six.
Yeah, went by fast. Good list. Good list this week. And that is the Pick Six segment, which is brought to you by Like Is Every Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. And real quick, I know it's not Pick Six, but Halloween's coming up. So I just wanted to gauge your interest here or gauge your opinion. Who are some of the scariest athletes of all time off the top of your heads? Top of your head. Jeez, I can't talk tonight.
Aaron Hernandez, number one.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Ray Lewis is up there for sure.
Yeah.
Taking off the field stuff out of the way.
Yes. Sorry.
On field scariest athlete. A John Diebler jump shot is the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
That's
pretty funny. That's a good one.
No, as far as like intimidating athletes without off the court stuff, because a lot of these guys that I'm thinking are intimidating did have off the field or off the court stuff. That's a good question.
How about, I mean, I know this guy had tons of out of the ring stuff, but Mike Tyson's got to be up there.
He's definitely, I would say number one, yeah. Mike Tyson, the scariest. Muhammad Ali, any boxer, UFC or MMA guy would have to be obviously up there.
Yeah.
NFL guys, Vontaze Burfict is for sure. Yeah. He was
Bill Romanowski.
Bill Romanowski, definitely. He was one of those guys. NBA wise, you got Bill Laimbeer and Dennis Rodman would probably be the scariest. Baseball wise, you got
I always thought Randy Johnson was scary.
He seems like a really nice guy, but he would be
a towering presence on the mound, throwing heat.
Intimidating guy for sure. Trying to think of quarterbacks that would be scary. Obviously, Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Mahomes getting that ball late down a score or tied is scary.
I'll throw Drew Brees in there too.
Brees too, for sure.
Yeah.
Rodgers back when he wasn't washed, for sure, would be up there.
Well, and some of the – Dick Butkus. I mean, some of those old time Jack Lambert.
I mean, all those guys back in the 70s
and 80s. How about the Watt boys on the field?
The Wild Boys, definitely. Yeah, JJ and TJ both. They were scary. Michael Strahan, mainly because his buck teeth there. But yeah, Aaron Donald's a good one because that dude was unbelievable. He was a beast. And
for a couple seasons, Devin Hester returning kicks and punts on teams.
Yeah. That's a good one too. Probably Tom Brady is probably the most feared, I would say.
Yeah.
Player in NFL history, anyway. Barry Bonds, the most feared baseball player ever. Yeah. I would say probably LeBron or Jordan in the NBA.
Yeah. No, good stuff. Good stuff. But let's start off with some NFL. I feel like we haven't given NFL that's due time, and we've been a little short. So, but very interesting week 8 around the NFL. A lot of upsets that I didn't see coming. But who was one of your three winners for week eight?
The Detroit Lions, man. 2 weeks ago when I was on the show, I declared them the best team in football, and they did nothing to sway that notion, in my opinion. Just annihilated a bad Tennessee Titans team, but they did it in spectacular fashion. I wish Dolphins would have hired Dan Campbell back in 2015 when he was the interim, looking back. But it would not have gone as well as it has now. And remember,
he got fired 2 years ago.
I was going to say, he about got fired in Detroit, and somehow they turned it around. But that offense is dynamite. Campbell's press conference today, they asked him, does GM Brad Holmes have a trade in the works? And he started jumping up and down and goes, he might. So who knows what that means if he's trying to throw him off. But there have been a ton of Max Crosby rumors there.
That would be great. That'd be awesome.
He's from Michigan, went to Eastern Michigan, so he's
get him out of Vegas, and they would have absolutely nothing.
Nothing. More. Yeah. They're best team in football, in my opinion.
One of my winners, because I don't know, I haven't put this team in a winner column all year. Don't know if I'll get a chance to do it again the rest of the year. That's Cleveland Browns. Upsetting the Baltimore Ravens 29-24 at home, and Jameis Winston provided. Or proved, he's fun, man. Showed he's a better quarterback for this team than Deshaun Watson. Threw for 334 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. That's the rare one. No interceptions with Jameis. They got it done. I mean, I did not think Cleveland was going to get it done there at the end yesterday after Tucker helped the Ravens get a late lead, but they found a way.
Yeah, the Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston have thrown for over 300 yards in 6 of their last 7. Games as a Cleveland Browns quarterback, and Deshaun Watson has not done it once over the entirety of that miserable contract. The players played for Jameis like they would not for Deshaun.
Says a lot.
My second winner, the Buffalo Bills. It was a solid win out there in Seattle. They're going to clinch the AFC East earlier than any team in the history of football. They've already got, a 4-game lead or 3.5 game lead, something like that.
And every other team in the division's 2 wins right now.
Yeah, they all stink, every single one of them. A couple more than others. Anyway, after everyone talking up the AFC East, it's a pretty bad division.
My second winner is the LA Rams. Getting a Thursday night win over the Vikings. Rams are getting healthier. Cooper Kupp's back. Guy can never say his name.
Puka Nacua.
The other wide receiver. Thank you. He's back. So all of a sudden Stafford's getting some weapons. And I know the Niners got the win over the Cowboys, but I still think that division's gettable. It's not gonna be Seahawks. Cardinals, I think, are sneaky good.
Cardinals are leading that division right now.
Yeah. So
at 4-4.
It's gonna be interesting. I don't know if that division can get 2 in the playoffs, but maybe they will. It'll be interesting.
My final winner, the Atlanta Falcons. I think they're the best team in the NFC South, especially now that Tampa is without Mike Evans for I don't know how long, but Chris Godwin's out for the season. That defense is bad anyway. So Saints look terrible. Panthers are the worst team in football.
They're bad.
The Bucs have not looked good here really since week two. Good win for the Falcons, and Kyle Pitts actually scored some touchdowns yesterday.
There's a lot of teams I could go here, but I'm going to pick the Philadelphia Eagles. 20-point win on the road in Cincinnati. Eagles are starting to look really good after looking kind of suspect early in the year. And they need to, because there's another surprise team in that NFC East that's looking really good. So.
Eagles need to start faster. They have 10 points total in the first quarter through 7 or 8 games, however many they played. But
Three losers. I will start off. This is kind of why I didn't pick this other team as a winner. The Chicago Bears. I know Hail Marys are flukes more than it is talent, scheme, anything like that. Dan Quinn could say anything he wants, but that's fluke. But just the look of having one of your players go, and I know you can't control everybody on the field, but one of your players taunting the fan base of the Commanders, his back's turned to the play when the play's going on, gets over there late, tips the ball. I mean, it was just unbelievable. The whole game, fumbling with a lineman at the goal line and then getting the pass interference to score and to take the lead.
Yeah,
it was just it'll be interesting to see where the Bears season goes after this, because they're 4-3. They're still in pretty good position, but
that division's killer though.
Yeah, it is. Man, that was heartbreak city for the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, Hail Marys happen. Like, it got to have a lucky bounce, all that. But the thing they did the worst, the Bears, giving up 15 yards on that first play. And they even asked Eberflus after the game, why did you do that? Well, we're playing the Hail Mary. Well, not from where they were.
No.
He's not throwing it 85 yards in the air. You give him 15 yards, it gives him an opportunity. And that was a rocket, too. 65 yards in the air.
Yes, was there holding? Yes, but they're not going to call it on that play.
Yeah, not going to
bat the ball down.
I mean, just like they're not going to call pass interference in the end zone on that play, too.
Quit crying.
They should have fired Eberflus. It was very clear. And so far this year, he's been the team's winning some games, but he's for the most part been a disaster. So, my first loser is the Indianapolis Colts. And, they probably weren't going to win in Houston anyway, but, their quarterback, their franchise guy they took in the top five, Anthony Richardson, started the game 2 for 15. He took himself out of the game for a play because he was fatigued. Bad look in itself. And Richardson has the lowest completion percentage in a season among qualified quarterbacks over the last 20 years. 44.4% completion percentage. He's on the list with J.P. Losman, Jamarcus Russell, and Tim Tebow. He's young, hasn't played much football, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But if this I think this Colts team can be a playoff team. I think they're good enough around the edges, defensively, offensive line. They have a good running game. If they went to Flacco, I think they'd get maybe the second seed. If they stick with Richardson, I understand why they would, because, you know, they took this guy in the top five. You want him to continue to develop. Then you just have to live with not making the playoffs, because he is not a good quarterback. And again, he's incredibly inexperienced. But at the same time, here we are year two, and he's missed 14 games so far through a year and a half. And he's one of the most inaccurate quarterbacks we've ever seen in our lifetime. So
even some of the balls he completes.
Terrible.
Guys are all over to wide receivers because he's like throwing it too late or too early in situations. And
they blame some drop issues, but sometimes guys just don't throw a very catchable ball. I mean, he's throwing some ducks, which are hard to catch. And he's not very good right now. I know he's only 22 years old. You got to give him some time. Playoff seasons are pretty precious, and you can't just afford to –
You can't come out in post game and say you took yourself out in the fourth quarter to being tired. You can't do that.
This is a quarterback.
You cannot do that. I don't care if you are tired. You stay in the game.
Yeah, tell your offensive coordinator
that's a bad look, man.
Have you hand the ball off a few times or something.
Bad look. Terrible. Good friend of the show, Aaron Lynch, texted me today, and I think he's officially broken as a Colt fan. I mean, he's fed up. He wants Ballard gone. He said Ballard acts like he's the smartest guy in the room, trying to get all these late round gems and these undrafted free agents. He's won one playoff game as a GM in 8 years. He's got done nothing. I'm like, man, you sound like Dan Dockich.
Just like he did back in 2018. I'll jump off the Colts bandwagon. The Colts will immediately win a Super Bowl. Like the Eagles. Did.
Yep. The Eagles did it with the Astros. I've been trying to get him to do it with Purdue Sports for years.
He is more happy being miserable than he is anything. Yeah, love you, Lynch.
Yes. Yep. my next loser, New York Jets. Season's over in New York. I'm sorry. Aaron Rodgers trade. I understand he blew his Achilles out last year, but it hasn't went well. Trying to get him more talent around him. Devontae Adams firing Scala was just stupid. Didn't achieve anything. This new interim guy is bad too. It's just funny. Mike Greenberg called it one of the most disappointing seasons in NFL history.
He's only saying that because he's a Jets fan. Jets fans were the only ones that said they were the team that's going to compete with the Chiefs the most, the biggest threat to the Chiefs. He didn't shut up about it. No one believed that except those idiots.
Dummy here with playoff predictor had them 14-3 or 15-2. So
and Tanner. they oh. uh, scored over 20 points yesterday, did not turn the ball over, held New England to 250 yards or less yesterday, less than 250 yards. And teams who have done that had never lost. And the Jets are the first team ever to have lost when accomplishing those numbers.
Yep.
And the only thing that salvaged my Sunday was the Jets doing that to a very, very, very bad New England team who lost, you know, their rookie quarterback Drake May early and had put Jacoby Brissett back in for who knows how long. I know May has a concussion, I believe. But
Yeah,
funny stuff there. Mm-hmm. Dallas Cowboys, they weren't going to win in San Francisco. But we're now on Mike McCarthy getting fired watch.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
I think he has the hottest seat in the NFL. You know, Dak Prescott hasn't played good football at all.
He doesn't look like himself. He can't move like he used to.
CeeDee Lamb has turned into the biggest diva in the NFL. Yeah.
Good game last night, but diva for sure.
He did a lot of that. I mean, he caught a garbage time touchdown real late. When the game
they had a chance
over.
At the end, but
they did.
Couldn't do anything.
Jerry's getting old. He's run out of patience. We'll see what happens, but they're not a good football team.
Number three for me, sorry, J-Man, Miami Dolphins.
They stink.
Tua comes back. Offense started off good, and, you know, the defense just couldn't quite get it together. And you put it perfectly on X. Dolphins just can't get out of their own way right now. They just can't. And, you know, Chris Greer, I'm not even a Dolphins fan, but I see so many Dolphins fans yelling at Chris Greer about the structure of this roster. So I got to take your guys' word for it.
Yeah, the worst part is they're in cap hell. You have so much dead cap that you can't cut guys. It's hard to trade guys. You either got to just clean house completely in the front office and coaching staff because you don't want to saddle, you know, a GM with a coach you didn't pick or a coach with a GM.
Correct.
Chris Greer has been with the Dolphins organization for 20-plus years. He took over 6 years ago, or he took over, I think, 8 years ago. And we've seen two playoff appearances, not a playoff win, not a division title. He tore this thing down and built it back up to a respectable level. I'll give him that. But this was supposed to completely turn around, and he went with flash, Tyreek Hill. We're going to have speed. We're going to go trade for Jalen Ramsey. We're going to have all these superstar names on our team. But he completely neglected the offensive line, defensive line. You win football games with defense and offensive line. Defense has been fantastic this year up until yesterday, and they could not stop Kyler Murray. Offense was good yesterday. The moment that thing changed was Tua had a snap go through his hands into the end zone, safety. That's when it
turned. That was ball game at the end. Ball game at the end, one point.
Dolphins offense, for the most part, rolled. I thought they looked very good. I thought Tua didn't look rusty at all. And the problem is they're talented enough. They'll end up with 7 wins or so, be picking in the teens. And the cycle continues. So,
well, next up's at Buffalo. I mean, it's not like, you know, an easy
at
one
Buffalo, then Monday night at LA Rams. Yeah. So looking at 2-7, and then I'll be in attendance for two very bad football teams, Miami Dolphins and Vegas Raiders, the next week. Dolphins schedule does lighten up significantly, so they'll pull some people back in. I'm not gonna get there though, hopefully. My final loser, Jacksonville Jaguars, just because I like throwing them on. I can't stand them. They stink. Yeah. Could have won yesterday, but they didn't.
Yep. Yep. So. Very well put. All right.
Man.
Pick them for week 9, starting with Thursday night, Houston Texans at the New York Jets Halloween kickoff.
I have the Houston Texans for 4.
I got the Texans for 4 as well. I wanted to put more, but I'm like, I could see the Jets somehow finding a way to pull this out at home.
I don't know about this Texans team.
Yeah.
They're winning games. Just something seems a little off.
It's kind of like I feel like the Niners. And I know the Niners are banged up. But something, even watching last night, I'm like, they just don't feel like the usual Niners. So
their healthiest wide receiver got shot right before the season, which is
a bad. Great thing that he's back. He played last night.
Yeah.
Denver Broncos at Baltimore Ravens.
Sorry, T-Dog. If the Ravens would have won yesterday, I'd probably feel a little better for you. But I'm taking Baltimore for 13.
I knew you were going to put double digits on it. And right now, it's the biggest line of the week. It's the Ravens are 9.5-point favorites.
You're like, joking. Man. It's not Miami, no. Buffalo? Good.
No, Lord. No. Well, let me go double check that. But no, Miami, Buffalo 6.5. Not even close to. Not even close to. Yeah, 9.5, which I'm like – I know the Broncos have beat up on a lot of bad teams, but they're 5-3 and got good defense. Yeah. With all that said, I'm taking the Ravens for 6. But if the Broncos can find a way to split between that Baltimore and that Kansas City in the next 2 weeks, I'll try to do a backflip, and I can't do a backflip.
I would say I'm rooting for it, but I have disliked the Broncos for so long now I can't do it.
I would be disappointed if you said you were rooting for it. So. Las Vegas Raiders at the Cincinnati Bengals. Oh, that's a fest.
Bengals have been the most overrated team. They had one fluke Super Bowl year. Haven't done anything since. I know they won in Buffalo a playoff game a few years ago, but Bengals for 9. Both teams stink.
I'm taking the Bengals for 10. If they don't win this one, they're done.
Zach Taylor might be done.
New England Patriots at Tennessee Titans. Woof.
Tennessee for 1. It's literally just because they're the home team. That's it. That's my only thought process in that one.
And I'm taking Titans for 3 for the exact reason. And I thought Mason Rudolph looked better than Will Levis.
So. He is better than Will Levis.
There's some really bad matchups this week. It's a bad week. At Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, it's a bad week. Derek Carr might be back. He was doubtful on Sunday, which means maybe he'll be questionable for this upcoming Sunday. Give me New Orleans for 6 regardless.
I got Saints for 12. That Panthers team's bad.
They're brutal.
That Bronco game yesterday, 28-14. The score does not indicate how much of a whooping that game was. So, Dallas Cowboys at Atlanta Falcons.
Give me the Falcons for 3.
I got the Falcons for 9. Miami Dolphins at Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills for 15. Dolphins could be 6-1 right now, and I would probably still take Buffalo for 15 because they can't beat them. They can't even come close to them.
I got the Bills for 14. Yeah. So, LA Chargers at Cleveland Browns.
Give me the Chargers for 7. I don't believe in this Chargers team either.
I got Chargers for 5. I think the Browns kind of come back down to earth a little bit. Watch Commanders at New York Giants.
Commanders for 11.
I got the Commanders for 11 as well. Jacksonville Jaguars at Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia for 12.
I got Philadelphia for 15. Chicago Bears at Arizona Cardinals.
Give me the Cardinals for 5.
I got the Cardinals for 2. LA Rams at Seattle Seahawks.
Give me the Rams for 2.
I got the Rams for 8. Detroit Lions at Green Bay Packers. That'll be a fun one.
Sounds like Malik Willis will be starting for Green Bay because they think Love will be out a while. Give me the Lions for 14.
I got the Lions for 1 because I didn't even think about Malik Willis. Yeah. But that's individual interdivision game.
Love's been pretty underwhelming anyway this year.
Yeah. In my opinion. Indianapolis Colts at Minnesota Vikings. This game was flexed into the Sunday night spot.
Yeah. Non-committal to Richardson this week so far. We're evaluating everything, is what Steichen said. Yep. Minnesota coming off a tough loss in L.A.
2 in a row. Think
they bounce back and win at home. Minnesota for 8.
I got the Vikings for 7. And Monday night, hey, the Chiefs get another primetime game.
Shocking.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Kansas City Chiefs.
Give me Kansas City for 10.
I got the Chiefs for 13. College football week 9. What were some of your big takeaways around the country?
Texas found a way to get it done at number 25, Vandy. I'll give him. Vandy's looked pretty good, but Texas ended up winning by 3. Oregon's better than anyone in the Big Ten.
They're pretty ridiculous.
They're good. Notre Dame waxed Navy, which I think I saw that come. Most people saw that coming. I didn't think Navy could even hang with them.
Notre Dame team and you're like, how did they lose in Northern Illinois? And it's one of those cases you play them 10 times, you're going to beat them 9 times.
Yeah,
but, geez, and Northern Illinois is now 4-4.
Yeah, they lost to a bad Ball State team. But other than that, I didn't watch a whole lot of college football over the week. And
Michigan State was fun. Michigan pulled it out, but it was a fun, tight game. Indiana, like you said, took care of business against Washington. Wisconsin can't win big night games. We want to say as much as we can about – we say anything you want about James Franklin, but Penn State put it on them in second half with their backup quarterback because Aller got hurt at the end of the first. And I liked what this backup can do. He can kind of run a little better than Aller. Nebraska gave Ohio State everything they wanted and more, but Ohio State found a way to pull it out. What else happened around the country that I can think of? Not a whole lot jumping out to me.
Yeah, it was kind of a down weekend. Something. But
Well, Florida State lost to Miami, so
Florida State loses to everyone. What a disaster! Absolute disaster.
It's awful.
Yeah,
awful. So, let's go around the Big Ten with the picks. Starting with this is a just awful game. Northwestern at Purdue.
This will be the J-Man's bookie prediction of the week.
Oh boy!
Purdue gets their first FBS win this year. Against Northwestern. I think Northwestern's garbage. I just 2 weeks to prepare. Not that that means anything with Purdue's coaches.
Yeah. Seen it.
But, 17-14 Purdue for one confidence point. I just feel like they get it done for you, T-Dog.
Northwestern is 1.5 point favorites as of right now. Like I mentioned to you in our friend group, 6 of the 8 road teams in the Big Ten are favorites right now, which is crazy. You don't see that very often in college football.
Does then Purdue have Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana? Or do they have
And Michigan State on the road thrown in there too. So, yeah.
Decent chance this is their last chance at a win.
Oh, yeah. You sound like just like everybody on Purdue message boards. But they are coming off a bye. They're going to play both quarterbacks. That has never worked for Purdue in history. Doesn't work for college football. But we'll see. Purdue does get supposedly their fastest guy on the team, CJ Smith, finally making a season debut. So maybe he can provide the offense something they've been missing. I don't know. But with all that said, I am taking Purdue for two. I got a good feeling about it for some reason.
Yeah, Northwestern stinks.
Well, ask Maryland that, though. Minnesota at number 24, Illinois.
Minnesota is favored in this, believe it or not, by 2.5. I am taking the home team. I think Illinois bounces back for 2 confidence points.
Got the line up for 5. Interesting. Line up for 5.
College
game day, Fox Big New, number 4, Ohio State at number 3, Penn State.
I just don't – something seems off with Ohio State, too, because they did not play well against Nebraska. Penn State, I don't know if Aller will be back or not. I don't think it matters. Franklin can't win the big one at home for sure. Give me Ohio State for 4.
I got the Buckeyes for 3 exact same reasons as you. Number 1, Oregon at Michigan.
I have Oregon winning at Michigan, and I have 8 confidence points on that thing.
I got 7 on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Michigan's okay. They're not like they were last year, of course. But Oregon's that much better than the Big Ten.
Yeah.
The rest of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
UCLA at Nebraska.
Nebraska for 7.
I got Nebraska for 8. Perfect spot. They needed somebody like this because they had another tough opponent, lost another. If they were to lose another game, they're like, are they going to make a bowl? They haven't made a bowl since 2016.
I know. So,
that'd be hilarious. And Nebraska fans after the Indiana game were already saying, is Matt Rhule our guy?
Yeah.
Are we sure? Which I'm like, he's a good football coach. Speaking of Indiana, number 13, Indiana at Michigan State.
Before we go further, J-Man's Book of Predictions of the Week brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent Travis Watchman for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Insurance, Workers' Comp, Farm Insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561.
Number 13, Indiana at Michigan State.
Is Rourke going to be back? Sounds like he has a chance.
It sounds like he's probably going to be.
Yeah, give me IU for 5.
I am taking the Spartans for 1. And here's my, and I'm not just saying this for Indiana. Hey, this is only their 3rd road game of the year. Their other 2 environments were UCLA and Northwestern. This will be a way tougher environment than the other 2 places. So
you're also biased against them. That plays a
role. I don't see them going 11-1. I think they're going to find.
I don't either. I agree.
But we'll see. If they win this one, then, I mean, they shut me up every week. So, Indiana fans, you should be glad I'm picking against them, because even though I picked them to win last week. So, USC at Washington.
I have Washington for 6 for no apparent reason.
I got Washington for 4 because they're at home. They're both similar teams.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin at Iowa.
I have Wisconsin for 3.
I got Iowa for 6. No idea why. I kind of ran out of
I don't know why I picked Wisconsin in that one.
I don't know. So – top 25. Do we have anything? I know we're running out of time.
We have 9 seconds left.
Yeah, we don't have a top 25. Oh, number 18, Pittsburgh at number 20. SMU is your only top 25 against top 25.
Really?
Besides Ohio State, Penn State.
Give me SMU.
Yep. I'll take the Mustangs as well.
Yeah.
Birdie or bogey question once again. There's eight teams, eight head coaches in NFL history have beat every single team that is now in the NFL.
Bill Belichick.
He is one.
Mike Tomlin.
He's never beat the Steelers, J-Man.
Oh, shoot. Trick question. Tony Dungy.
Yes.
Oh man. Andy Reid.
Yes.
Two
more for a par.
Two more for a par. Okay. If I get one wrong, I'm done though. That's what I'm telling myself. Man. Oh boy. Who's John Harbaugh?
No.
Oh shoot. All right.
Mike Shanahan?
Oh yeah.
Sean Payton, because he just beat the Saints.
Yeah, sure.
John Fox. Yeah.
Foxball.
Bill Parcells.
I almost said Parcells, but I thought that was going to be a stupid guess. Gosh dang it.
You said Belichick. You said Reed. Mm-hmm. Mike Holmgren.
I thought about Holmgren too, but then, yeah.
Man. And Tony Dungy.
Yeah, I should have said Parcells, but I thought that was going to be a dumb guess. That was a good question. Thank you. I think. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man. She'll be back at her next Monday with our Big Ten College Basketball Preview Show. Have a fantastic week, everybody.